You know, just the last, it seemed like a vignette from my wife's life came to me during the sitting. I'll put it that way. I didn't noodle about it too long, but we live in a place called Marin County, which is the first county north of San Francisco. And it, at the center of the county, it seems like the mother of the county is Mount Tamalpais, and the whole county kind of revolves around Mount Tam. And many people hike and bike. In fact, that's where the mountain bike was founded, on Mount Tam. And my daughter goes to school in the town where I live, which is, you know, you can, from our town, you can see Mount Tam. And every week her class goes on an outing somewhere. And this particular Tuesday, which is their day off campus, Nature Day they call it, it was a day where it was pouring rain. They were instructed to bring their rain clothes, and they were going to drive up to the top of Mount Tam. So they left that morning, and my wife and I were taking a little stroll, and my wife was preoccupied. And she started, in her mind, my daughter was driving up this wet road, the one scenario, the bus went off the road. The second one is that she got soaked to the bone and then got deathly ill. And one thing led to another. But then in the middle of it, she woke up. She realized this is a thought about Mount Tam and my daughter. There was a moment where mindfulness, awakening, shined through. And what was an untenable, catastrophic possibility, or actually reality in the imagination, was none other than from the perspective of a moment, a simple moment of awakening, just another thought, another little mind-made drama that had no reality whatsoever. So that, I think you can very easily undervalue the gift of simple moments of awakening. It just cut through that whole virtual view. And there was just a moment, oh, thinking, mind thinking, catastrophic thinking. And it brought so much gladness to her heart to have that protection of having awakened. And was, while carried along by that stream of fantasy, it was a torment. So they, of course, there, it's unpredictable when that awakening will occur. We can wander a long time confused. But it seems, at least from my own experience, and anecdotally from others, that the more you plant that seed of with volition, inclined toward wakefulness, of knowing what you're doing when you're doing it, it seems you pop up more often, pop out more often. And in fact, when you do pop out, there's much more appreciation and much less judgment about having been carried along. So, all you experts know that. Anyway, I just thought you might appreciate that, because each of us has our own little vignettes like that. And that itself, I said nothing more tonight, that's its own reminder of the gift of awakening. Any questions, comments, anything about what you noticed while you were sitting tonight, about just bathing in a field of sensations, forgetting time, and just being present, please?
Take us out of the present moment by taking us into the past or into the future.
You notice how you made gestures with your hands out of the present moment. We don't really ever go out of the present moment. We only imagine that we do. What is the right use of imagination? Well, that, you tell me. I love your question.
I'm sitting here wondering.
It's a great...
I usually think of imagination as a tool of possibility.
Yes, this building here emerged out of someone's imagination. Mm-hmm. So imagination can be a very wonderful, creative... capacity that we have. And it seems that our imagination works really beautifully, especially in that creative epiphanies tend to come more beautifully out of quiet, out of silence. But when I talk about imagination, it's really for the purpose of seeing the difference between what's actually happening and what we are projecting, what we're imagining. Now, so you can see, if you start to know, oh, this is imagination, then you can see what imaginings are useful, wholesome, helpful, and which ones are just catastrophic. And so you get to see the whole array of what's would be called useful imagination, creative imagination, and what's not so helpful.
It's the emotional aspect that goes with that, like when you talked about your wife being in the...
So some of it is the emotional aspect, and some of it is the motivation behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, so if the motivation is to create a beautiful building or to reflect on your day's events, the intention is to see how was I today? You know, where did I get stuck? Where did I go on automatic pilot? So there could be a really wholesome intention to think about your day and imagine yourself back in your office or in your garden, and so that's imagination, but the intention is to incline your heart toward living your life more skillfully. On the other hand, your imagination could be just, how can I get away from this moment? How can I distract myself any way I can? And that would have a different result. So you want to look at what the aim is in your imagination. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't really know. Yes.
And then I was aware of some quite discomfort in one part of my body, and I didn't want to move, but you didn't say don't move.
No.
So everybody just became so still, but I...
But you cheated. No, just kidding.
I guess that peace isn't necessary. It doesn't come just when it's still. So, I mean, it may be very often that it comes from the stillness and not moving.
I think when our mind is less reactive and we're not looking ahead so much or looking back, I think we fall quite naturally into more stillness, and we tend to become more relaxed. And when we're more relaxed, stillness comes naturally. I said to settle into a gentle stillness, but knowing that from time to time, our bodies are never really completely still. If you look at, there's little micro movements being made all the time. And so it's stillness, kind of general stillness of body helps to promote stillness and steadiness of mind, but it's not never meant to be forced. And yet stillness, there's something in the general stillness of mind that's really intrinsic. So that's why people respond to stillness when they hear the word. because there's something about the innate nature of our mind that's still, that's silent, quiet, unmoving. That same knowing that I was talking to my daughter about is very still. Knowing is still. Please. That's an interesting mystery.
It is.
Don't know.
Yeah, and that's all I could come up with, well, was to, continue to sort of send forth what I was sending forth. Mm.
We could use a lot more goodwill in this world, and it tends to flow much more easily when there's some harmony of our mind and body, when our mind and body are in the same location, there's a settling, and then it gladdens our heart, softens a little bit, we feel sufficient, and then we just want to give it to others. So, and you can remote give or give immediately. Yeah. I don't think it stops. Mystery. Please. Could you say that again? How I phrased the instructions? Yes. In general, and what I'll be offering over the weekend, which I think I've done here before, is I offer the what's called Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, as an initial anchor for the attention, as initial tool to help harmonize our mind and body, to have our attention in the same location as our body, to help us settle, to help bring calm, to bring focus. Really more to be in service of being able to have the presence of mind to notice everything that presents itself and to ultimately not have any hierarchy of experience. Anything that can be noticed is actually treated equally. But typically, until we have a certain degree of steadiness, until we have a certain amount of that love muscle developed, the tendency is with each experience that comes, we'll either be reactive to it or start commenting on it, or it will feel like a symphony that's very chaotic, and it will seem like everything's happening at once, and we're not so easily able to be aware of the predominance of something, and to sustain our attention to see the gracefulness in which things come and go. And because we tend to get caught up in all our reactions, it's just too much to note if I say, just be aware of everything. So it's useful at first to have a little anchor. You could have the tip of the nostrils. But even as one goes through a retreat, some people will, once they have some degree of presentness, of steadiness, then they'll just open it up to whatever presents itself. Others will continue to keep that anchor, keep that tool getting more and more refined, and then only if something else becomes stronger, they just let the tool go, let that anchor go, and let that experience that seems to be calling the attention. So now if what's calling your attention is a symphony of sensations, you may ask yourself the question, well, which part do I pay attention to? So there's two different things that you can do. You can either wrap a ribbon around the whole thing and say symphony, just widen your lens to have it be just welcoming of the whole wildness of it, or you can pick the sensation in the middle of it that's most interesting. Whatever helps you maintain continuity of awareness. It doesn't matter whether it's panoramic or microscopic. Does not matter. What you're building is that capacity to meet your experience in a non-reactive, peaceful way. Giving yourself the gift of non-contentiousness, a gift of not trying to get someplace, the gift of relaxation with the way things are. So it's up to you. Did that speak to your question or no? So what we would do in the course of the retreat is when you have an oh wow, you go, oh, I'm having an oh wow. So that becomes equal to the sensation. So that there's, again, no hierarchy. A mental state that becomes an oh wow feeling becomes just as interesting equal experience to notice as the sensation itself. So it's all part of it. And notice how the oh wow then leads to a whole little story about, oh wow, that was like the oh wow on the last retreat. Or this one's more interesting. Oh, comparing mind. And then, oh, my oh wow is very special. Oh, pride. And you get to just see the way the mind moves from, proliferates from the basic base, bare, as the traditional teaching, the bare date of experience to this, you know, fusion of overlay, you know. So you get to notice all of it. There's no right or wrong if you're noticing what's happening. Are we at the, oh yeah, we are at that place. Thank you. You're very respectful of the schedule. Thank you, Brock. I can feel your... So I wanted to say as we're leaving, about the book. The book is, it was very fun, the process of putting together the book, and it partly inspired, a little bit of the story of it is in the cover, is in the acknowledgments that maybe the story is not it, but an editor from a big publisher in the States had been sitting with me for years and I didn't know it, and she just started coming up and prodding me to write this little book. And in her mind, she, and I think I told this to Brock earlier, she said that there's a consumer, you know, and editors and publishers, there's a consumer that doesn't know much about meditation and doesn't really want to have to weed through all the Buddhist language, you know, vitaka, vichara, all those words I share. Doesn't want to have to weed through that, and but would really benefit by, she wanted them to hear my voice of just pointing to the simple reality of the present. So collaboratively, we put this little book together, and I was telling Brock that mostly the notes that I've gotten from people all over North America have mostly been from the oldie moldies, but many people, the people who've done a lot of practice, in other words, but it was originally designed for anyone, of whether you're experienced or not, but maybe especially initially for people who didn't have a meditation practice, and especially for people who have families and members of your family that think you've gone off the deep end or something. But in fact, it's also saying that many people buy copies and give them to their friends. So it was meant to be a gift book as well. And the publisher makes, I think they spent longer, as long on the cover of the book as I did on writing it. But thank you in advance for any support of the book, and I am happy to sign it. Yes, thank you all, and thanks for your generosity. Thank you for your practice, and I'm sure I'll see all of you this weekend, right?